7, Stan Phillips.
The day we sweated out on the streets of a runaway American dream. At night we racked the mansions of glory and suicide machines.
Good morning, Met fans. Happy Sunday to you. How you doing? Well, we got our first preseason game under the belt, and the Mets were victorious, and that is all good. The game wasn't televised, so I didn't get a chance to see it, and I didn't get a chance to really listen to it because I thought it would be on my MLB.TV free trial for preseason, but they're not broadcasting the radio broadcast, so unfortunately, I heard like an inning on WCBS. Yeah, the Mets usually give us season ticket holders the package for free, but they've yet to send us the details yet. Called my rep. This is all personal stuff. You guys don't care about this. And they should be getting in like a week or so. And then I'll be able to listen to all the Met games again. Sometimes I like to overlap the Mets radio audio over the video. It's pretty cool hearing Howie and Wayne Randazzo over the Met video of the game. But Louis Guillorme, Dominic Smith, and Nick Palmer hit first inning home runs. And that served as a tone setter for the Mets' 8-hit evening. Guillorme slapped an opposite field. Solo home run down the left field line. That put the Mets up 1-0. And then after J.D. Davis struck out swinging, Smith joined the fun with an opposite field fly ball that cleared the wall on the left and doubled the Mets' lead to 2-0, just three batters into the game. Now, following a Daniel Polka ground out and Thomas Nito single, the left-handed hitting Plummer's two-out shot went the opposite way and down the line. That put the Mets up 4-0. Now, pitching for the Nationals was Josiah Gray. If you remember when the Dodgers and Nationals made that big trade for Scherzer and Turner, he was one of the return pieces for the Nationals. He's highly touted. He pitched 1 2/3 innings, allowing 4 runs on as many hits. He bounced back for the first two Mets of his second inning. He got them out, that they being Kahlil Lee on a ground out and Jake Magnum to strike out looking before getting pulled for the game. Now Dominic Smith added to his first inning long ball two frames later when he ripped a line drive down the right field line past the diving Nationals first baseman Josh Bell, and he legged out an RBI triple. Davis, who led off the third inning by getting hit with a pitch, scored from first base and padded New York's 5-0 cushion. Now, Smith took Scherzer yard twice in Wednesday's simulated game, and he stayed hot Saturday, 2-for-3 at the plate with 2 RBIs. A fifth-inning strikeout swinging captain night for Smith, who played first base defensively. Guillorme, meanwhile, added a third hit in the sixth inning when he looped his 2-out RBI double into left field, and that scored Matt Reynolds from second base. Guillorme, who played shortstop, registered a 2-for-3 performance at the plate with 2 RBIs. Now, Josh Walker started for the Mets and turned in a 3-inning, 1-hit outing. He fanned 2 and walked a pair before giving way to the Mets bullpen. So things were looking good for the Mets. Now, what's up next? Well, today, we get to watch the Mets season on SNY. David Peterson gets the ball, and it will be a home game at Clover Park, so that should be fun to watch today. And this is going to be a fun year. You can tell right off the bat it's going to be fun. And looks like Steve Cohen's going to be the number one villain amongst owners. And people are going to dislike the Mets because of it. It's funny because he's actually one of the few owners that is spending on payroll. So for that, he's going to be the enemy. But we are in New York. The Mets tend to be a lightning rod when they're doing well. And they will be a Goliath, a spending Goliath. And with the Yankees in town, also one of the top bananas in baseball, it's going to really ramp up the fan reaction. Both teams are a collection of stars and the rising payrolls focus love and hate on them. And that's good for the sport. You want extreme emotions, indifference is the enemy. We had too many years where the Mets, no one even cared. They were just the butt of jokes. But now they're going to be getting some attention. Doesn't necessarily mean you can buy champions. The Yankees have been struggling since 2009 to get even to the World Series. But it is interesting to note that the four-time champion Yankees in 96-2000 were at times not the highest payroll in the sport. So it proves sometimes you just need the right chemistry. Do the Mets have the right chemistry? We shall see. They definitely have the talent and the depth to be a serious contender. But like I said, nationally, the Dodgers and the Braves really, really look tough. So we're going to see what happens. But like I said, despite teams with high payrolls, there have been eight different organizations that have won past eight titles. And the last two teams to have the highest opening day payroll and win it all were 2009 Yankees and 2018 Red Sox. So again, the biggest payroll wins far less than often is perceived. Now, the Mets entered the weekend with a payroll for luxury tax purposes at a major league high, $286 million. And that is pretty high. Cohen even said that they may even go over the fourth luxury tax level. And the more outrage that brings in Miami, Washington, Atlanta, the better for baseball. It really is good to be a villain. It looks like the Mets are going to be that villain. And it doesn't appear like Cohen's just going to have a blank check. He has his breaking point. The Mets wanted a lefty reliever. He had found the asking prices for Aaron Loop and Andrew Chafin, for two examples, too high, so they signed elsewhere. Would the Mets feel that way if the payroll was, say, $240 million? It's tough to say. But they are being somewhat practical when it comes to signing big contracts, so we'll see what happens. There are going to be 10 teams with projected payrolls over $200 million. And even the Blue Jays and Cardinals are getting closer to that border. So there's a lot of teams that spend money, but not to the excess that the Mets are doing. Now, let's face it, there is no perfect system. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you don't spend, you get criticized. If you spend too much, you get criticized. But we shall see. But it's going to be a tough division. The Mets, National League East, with Phillies adding all the bats and bullpen help that they did, making the National League East a little bit of a beast. Nick Castellanos, Kenley Jansen were the latest additions to the Phillies. And they also added Kyle Schwarber last week, so they were busy. And the Braves essentially replaced Freddie Freeman with stud Matt Olson at first base. So it's not like these teams are going to roll over for the Mets. It's great for the fans, and it's going to be one hell of a pennant race. I can't remember the last time I look forward to a Mets season where it could be a three-team race going down to the final weeks of the season. Now, of course, the Mets made their splash early in November when they signed Max Scherzer to that three-year, $140 million contract. They also signed Mark Canha, Starling Marte, Eduardo Escobar, and after the lockout, Chris Bassett and Adam Ottavino. Now, Atlanta already had a top closer in Will Smith, but Jansen provided another lead arm. So it'll be interesting how they work those two into the closer's role. Now, Castellanos is a right-handed bat, and he'll bring balance to a Philly lineup that, if healthy, might be the favorite to lead the NL in home runs, especially in that ballpark. Schwarber emerged as a Met killer last season with the Nationals. Now, it's a new year. So can Schwarber continue the magic he had last year? We'll see. Castellanos is just a great hitter. The unfortunate thing is they got to put him. I guess he'll be out in the outfield. Schwarber will be the DH. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. But neither one of them is really a good glove out in the outfield. So they'll be sacrificing some defense for these bats. But the Braves are the team we're going to have to watch out for. They have a lot of options. Their bullpen was the talk of the postseason last year. And they made their bullpen even better. Buck Showalter has the rosters of the other four NL teams posted in his workroom. And his staff can familiarize themselves with the opponents they will face for nearly half the schedule. But Showalter isn't about to make those opponents' upgrades a point of emphasis with his club. What are you going to do? Gather the players again and say, look at how much better everybody's gotten? That's just the nature of the beast. So Buck's not panicking, and that's a good thing. But the Mets do have to recognize that National League is a tough division. It's not going to be easy. But one thing in the Mets' favor, so far, it looks like Dominic Smith is back to being Dominic Smith. What are we going to do with him if he hits like he did prior to last year? We're going to have to find this guy time. And that torn labrum that he revealed this year in preseason, I mean in the spring training, you're mad that he took this long to reveal it, but you're kind of glad to find out that that's the reason why he was hurt. And when Dom Smith is on, he is on. He is a great hitter. And it looks like he's got his swing down and he's doing well. Like I said yesterday, he smacked that home run, the triple. And save some of those hits for the regular season, will you, Dom? And again, the last 2 days in the intra-squad and yesterday's game is just a reminder of what this guy can do when he's healthy. Smith looks like he's putting more emphasis on his legs and holding his ground. And he really was out of whack with his swing last year. He was jumping all over the place. And he was chasing balls. And that was uncharacteristic of Dominic Smith. Now, how about Josh Walker yesterday? Josh never pitched in a game above low A. And this spring, the left-hander, as Walker mates with Scherzer, and Saturday night, he tossed 3 scoreless innings in the start against the Nationals. And even Walker said, being in the same room as those guys was kind of unthinkable a few years ago. I feel like I earned my way here. Now, Walker was a 37th-round pick in 2017 at the University of New Haven. He put himself on the Mets' radar with a breakout season in 2021, starting in high A Brooklyn and finishing at triple A with a combined 3.73 ERA across 115 and two-third innings. Now, the Mets made another cut yesterday. Thomas Sabuki. Sabuki threw 2 scoreless innings Friday intra-squad game, and I had so much potential in mind for Sabuki. I still say he's been hurt, but he's a lefty with electric stuff, and I don't think we've seen the last of Sabuki. It looks like Buck Showalter is getting a good feel for the team, and it looks like his major goal for his team is health. He knows that if this club is healthy, you got to trust the talent out there and do well. The finish line's a lot faster now that the spring training season's been condensed. So as long as the Mets are healthy, we'll see, you know, what transpires as far as the roster. Like I said yesterday, the only really big leaguers who played Saturday were Yermey, J.D. Davis, Dominic Smith, and Thomas Nito. And that's usually the case with a road game. But Showalter is saying he will lean on his veteran-laden roster to make sure they get the right amount of work in before opening day, April 7th. It's not a perfect world. They can create at-bats. They do have to see who they have in the farm system, play intra-squad games, etc. So it's going to be interesting to see how Buck plays all this out with his players. Now, one of the players he wants to see how is going to play out is Carlos Carrasco. And he underwent surgery in October to remove a bone fragment from his right elbow. And he threw 2 innings of live batting practice on Friday and appeared to come through it okay. I asked the trainers before he left, said Showalter, and so far, so good on Carrasco. Now, Scherzer, Lindor, and Alonso worked out with the Mets at the ballpark at Palm Beaches, but did not play in the game. So they actually did make the road trip. That's always encouraging to see. They live real close to there. Anytime we can stay off 95, stay off 95. But they did make it out there. Yeah, Florida and Route 95 aren't exactly fun if you've ever been down to Florida. Chris Bassett and Taijuan Walker threw wide batting practice Saturday afternoon back at Clover Park. The Mets made another cut, like I said, Sabuki. But that was really all they, as far as transactions were concerned. But we'll be seeing more and more of those coming before the season starts, the regular season starts. Now, Trevor May, he was a horse last year. He's got a durable arm. And he is working on a split changeup, it looks like. He's experimenting with the pitch, and he finally arrived at spring training. He was delayed a little bit, as you recall. Now, the unfortunate thing is when you're working on a pitch like that, in this year's spring training, like I said, spring training time has been shortened. So it's going to be interesting to see if he's going to keep working on that, because we don't have the regular 6 weeks. We just had really 3+ weeks. But if Trevor May can add that pitch to his arsenal, that is going to be fun. Trevor May's a gamer, great personality, great social media presence. So everybody likes Trevor May. He was one of the Mets' go-to high-leverage relievers last season in front of a closer, Edwin Diaz. And he posted a 3.59 ERA with 83 Ks and 62 in the third innings. So he was getting the batters out with his stuff. But the emergence of a split changeup could make him an even more important weapon out of the bullpen. Now, last season, opposing batters hit 341 with a 636 slugging percentage against May's changeup. They had much harder time touching his fastball. 217 average, 371 slugging, and slider, 164, 291. So Trevor does need to work on his changeup. I guess you have to have a feel for the changeup, and he's trying to get that feel, experimenting with different grips. But he just wants some downward movement on his changeup, and hopefully he'll carry like his fastball. If it does, he's going to be so much better as a pitcher. And not that he's not good now. Now, how about J.D. Davis, the rumor of all these trades? He got punked by a pitch yesterday. He was punked by a Will Harris pitch in the third inning, but it really didn't bother him at all. He stayed in the game. And Steve Cohen and Sandy Alderson made the trip to West Palm Beach to watch Buck Showalter's first game. The Mets won 6-2, so you got to love the fact that Steve Cohen is heads up, is hands-on in all this, and he's making, he's not making his presence felt, but he wants to be part of what's going on and keep his eyeballs on everything. Now, like I said, today, I wonder if Steve's going to be at the home game with David Peterson starting, followed by Miguel and Drew Smith. I'll be watching, and I'll be back, probably back later tonight with the recap of that. Well, it's fresh in my mind. I'm not sure if Robbie Cano is going to be playing. He's the third oldest player in Major League Baseball at age 39, so he's got to get those bones a little limber and loose. Only two players older than him, Nelson Cruz and Albert Pujols, so that's pretty good company. I forgot. Yadier Molina's older, a few months older than Cano. So Cano's the fourth oldest, but you got to love his attitude. He's saying that age doesn't matter. If you prepare yourself, you'll be ready. And by the time, you know, everything rolls around, he should be ready. That'll be interesting because missing last season, he had a second career PED suspension. He'll have to prove he still belongs. Showalter has already said McNeil will see the majority of playing time at second base. And at that point, Sticks Cano could be left as a backup in DH. And for the first time in his career, something less than an everyday player. And that's when you're a player of Cano's talent all these years. That could be tough to be handling, but it's something I think he's going to have to. He'll have to be ready every day and contribute. He did play in the Dominican Republic over the winter, and he saw enough positives to believe he's capable of helping a Met lineup that struggled scoring runs last season. Now, in the pandemic-shortened 2020 season, he was among the Mets' best offensive performers with a 316, 352, 544 slash line with 10 homers and 30 ribbies in 49 games. Now, that came after this disappointing season with the Mets after he came from the Mariners in a deal that exported top prospect Jared Kelenic. Now, in the clubhouse, Cano appears to have regained his role as a respected elder statesman to whom younger players generate. On Saturday, he held court in the clubhouse for Edwin Diaz and Taijuan Walker, among others. Now, they have shown the love for the game right away, and Cano is always there to help, it seems. Showalter is Cano's third manager and fourth if you include manager for a day, Carlos Beltran. But it seems like he's very fond of Buck Showalter, and he even thinks that the team could be great, not good, and he is emphasizing the great part. So if Robbie Cano can contribute, we're all for the better, and hopefully he does. Would really love to see Robbie Cano do well this year. Okay, now it's time to celebrate all the Met birthdays that are going on. Happy birthday to George Altman, born this day in 1933. Steve Dillon, born this day in 1943. Rick Parker, born this day in 1963. Wes Miner, born this day in 1966. Manny Alexander, born this day in 1971. And Brad Hand, born this day in 1990. Happy birthday to all of those six Mets. And unfortunately, on this date in 2001, the Mets lost Luis Alvarado. And as far as transactions are concerned on this date, the Mets purchased Frank Larry from the Milwaukee Braves in 1965. They signed free agent Octavio Dovell on this date in 1993. And they traded Jason Phillips to the Dodgers on this date in 2005. Now, George Altman was acquired from the Mets as we gave up one of our first aces, Roger Craig, in 1963 during the offseason. He played four more years in the majors, but only in 1964, a sole season with the Mets, did he play regular. He struggled offensively, hitting .230 in 124 games, hitting only nine homers, and was traded back to the Cubs in January 1965. Now, George did get a lot of fame by ending his baseball career with an eight-year tenure in Japanese baseball, where he hit 205 home runs and batted .309 with 985 hits. But he did have a distinguished career with the Cubs from 59 to 62 to Cards, and then finishing off with the Mets. And then he went back to the Cubs in 65-67 before going to the Cubs again. And he was a three-time All-Star. I remember in 61, they played two games. He represented the NL both years for the Cubs in 61. And he also made the team in 62. So George had a pretty good career. He just tailed off very quickly. But he did have a really good year. In 62, he set his best with games, 147 hits, 170, batting average .318, stolen bases 19, and slugging 22 home runs. And he was a major piece in a six-player trade with the Cardinals that brought pitchers Larry Jackson and Wendy McDaniel to the Cubs. So when he went to the Cards, it was a big deal at the time. A big deal meaning a big trade. And he played a role in the pennant race that saw the Redbirds challenge the Dodgers for the pennant in 63. He hit .274 with only nine home runs and then was sent to the last place Mets after the season. Now let's talk about Steve Dillon, shall we? Steve was selected by the Mets in the first year player draft after the 62 season, I should say, and spent 63 with AAA Buffalo Bisons. He made his Met debut on Thursday, September 5th, in a 9-0 loss to Cardinals at Busch Stadium, relieving Roger Craig in the sixth inning. He lasted 1 2/3 frames and gave up three hits and two earned runs, a triple by Tim McCarver with one strikeout. Now, he made the Mets' 28-man roster out of spring training at 64 and hurled an inning of relief on April 24th at Pittsburgh's Forbes Field, before being called into the first game played under the lights at Mets' new ballpark, Shea Stadium, on Wednesday, May 6th. He was the Mets' fifth and final pitcher that evening in a 12-4 loss to the Reds. He got the Reds out in order in the eighth inning, but in the ninth he gave up a leadoff home run to Veya Pinson and an RBI single to Leo Cardenas. Pinson's blast hit the right center field scoreboard at the new park. When Dillon reached the dugout, legendary manager Casey Stengel told him, "Listen, if another player hits a home run off that scoreboard and breaks it, you're paying for it." It was Dillon's last big league game. He returned to the minor leagues and when the rosters were reduced to 25 players in May. Ironically, Dillon retired from Major League because of baseball in general because of low minor league wages. His minor league totals included seven hits and five earned runs in 4 2/3 innings with three strikeouts. He became a salesman and a New York police officer over 20 years. And as of 2009, he was living in Baldwin, New York, in Long Island. Now let's talk about Rick Parker. He played all or part of six seasons in the majors between 1990 and 96 for the Giants, 90-91 with the Giants, 93 with the Astros, the Mets 94, and the Dodgers in 95-96. His professional career spanned 14 seasons from 1985 to 1998. With the Mets in 94, he played in eight games, had 18 at-bats, and one hit. So his batting average was a pretty, pretty low batting average of .63. Now let's touch on Blas Meiner, shall we? He played from 1992 to 97, played with the Pirates from 92 to 94, the Mets from 95 to 96, Mariners in 96, and the Astros in 97. Who remembers Blas Meiner? Mets were pretty lean back in those years, but Blas, once a Met, always a Met. And in 1995, he did pitch in 35 games for the Metropolitans. Finished 10 games at an ERA 3.66. And then in 96, he pitched in 17 games with an ERA of 3.51. And then during the season, he was sent to the Seattle Mariners for Randy Vickers, a minor league pitcher at the time. Now let's talk about Manny Alexander. Manny was traded by the Orioles along with Scott McLean to the Mets for Hector Ramirez on March 22, 1997. He appeared in many games that spring, hitting .248 with two homers and 14 ribbies, stealing 11 bases in 11 attempts in 54 games with the Mets before being named on August 14th as the player to be named later in an early trade. Yes, he is one of those players to be named later, guys. The Mets sent Alexander, Lance Johnson, and Mark Clark to the Cubs for Brian McRae, Mel Rojas, and Turk Wendell. That was a big trade at the time. And Mets did pretty well with Turk and Brian McRae. Lance Johnson was a hitting machine, but you got to give up talent to get talent. And so Manny became a Cub. Did well with the Cubs, too. Filled in well with the Cubs. So Manny was around. Like I said, he basically played in the majors from 92 to 2006. So he was talented enough to keep hooking on with other teams. Now let's talk about Brett Hand. He was a sought-after reliever this offseason. And he signed with the Phillies this offseason. But he was a Met at one time. Now he's an enemy, right? Yeah, he even pitched for the Marlins. He's been all around the place. Brett Hand has. And looks like he makes the National League East one of his targets all time. Nationals, Marlins. What team? Oh, he hasn't played for the Braves yet. Maybe one day he will. But anyway, Brad has been a three-time All-Star. Made the All-Star three straight years, 2017 to 2019. And he was the AL Saves leader in 2020. Now, how does that fit in with the New York Mets? All those numbers? Well, it really doesn't. He wasn't a Met for that long, to be honest. But he was claimed off waivers by the Mets from the Blue Jays on September 2, 2021. He was not with the team on September 1st, and he would have been ineligible to appear in the postseason for the Mets, but was added to the bullpen to help them clinch a potential playoff berth in the final month of the regular season. Now, of course, the Mets didn't make the playoffs, and the Mets were eliminated from playoff contention with a 2-1 loss to the Brewers on September 25th. Hand made 16 appearances for the Mets in September, and while he had a 1-0 record with a 2.70 ERA, he also allowed 5 of the 6 runners he inherited to score. The Mets stopped placing him in the high leverage situations as a result. He became a free agent at the end of the season. Now, like we said before, Hand signed a one-year deal with the Phillies for $6 million. Okay, today's Met trivia question. Who is ready? The question is, only once in Met history have the Mets had five players who had 20 or more home runs in a season. Can you name the year it happened and what five players did it? And today's final Mets Jeopardy. Worn number 26 is a Met. Second clue, only had one career base hit as a Met, and that happened in 2000. We'll be back later with the answers, so lock them in and see how you did. You guys have been doing pretty good. Keep up that streak. Let's see how you do today. And what's going on? The greatest baseball group there is, New York Mets Baseball Way of Life. If you're not a member, we're on Facebook, so please do join. You'll enjoy it. And if you're enjoying this podcast, and I bet you are, then you need to become a subscriber. We do one every day during the season, so check it out. Subscribe on your favorite platform, and you'll be notified when the next one is up. Pat Ragazzo in a group, great writer for SI.com, did a great piece on Brandon Nimmo today. And you'll get Brandon's viewpoints on center field competition in depth. We put a little article up about Mike Vail and his hitting streak from the Daily News. So always, always good stuff. Always. You have to check it out. And like I said, we have a great following there. Former Mets. We have Lenny Randle. We have Ray Knight in the group. And trying to get Dwight Gooden to come on board. We'll see how that works out. But join the group. You'll enjoy it. And now let's get back to today's final Mets Jeopardy and trivia questions, shall we? Again, the trivia question was, can you name the year it happened and what five players did it? Did what, you say? Hit 20 home runs or more. Yes, five Met players did it. And the year they did it? The answer is 2019. And the players are Pete Alonso, Michael Conforto, J.D. Davis, Todd Frazier, and Jeff McNeil. Congrats to our good buddy Jason Lynch on being the first to get that one. As always, Jason's on top of things. Our Jeopardy, two clues, war number 26 as a Met, and only had one career base hit as a Met, and that happened in 2000. Well, the correct response to today's final Met Jeopardy, it was a toughie, but John Tierney came up with the answer, and the correct answer is, who is David Lamb? Good job, John, as always. Well, that's going to wrap it up for the podcast today. We'll be back recapping today's first home exhibition game. Should be fun tomorrow. We're going to try and do the podcast a little bit earlier. We'll see how that works out. Can't make any promises, but we will have one up tomorrow sometime. So please do check back in. And again, thank you for all your support. It means the world to me. And enjoy the game today if you're watching it. If not, we'll recap it for you. And enjoy the day. It's a little bit cooler in the New York area than it was yesterday, but enjoy the day nonetheless. And let's go, Mets.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies. Bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life. Because the Mets are really sucking the ball. Knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side. Everybody's coming down to meet the M-E-T-S Mets from New York town. Oh, the butcher and the baker and the people on the streets. Where do they go? To meet the Mets! They're hollering and cheering and they're jumping in their seats. Where do they go? To meet the Mets! All the fans are true to the orange and blue. So hurry up and come on down. Cause we got ourselves a ball from the Mets of New York town. Give them a yell! Give them a hand! And let them know you're rooting in the stand. Come on and meet the Mets! Meet the Mets, step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life. Because the Mets are really sucking the ball.